Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you. You can reach out and reach in right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some life issue you're dealing with, you'd like to discuss it, well, now's the time to call. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, one of the big questions that I had early on in my Christian life was this: how do I really know that God has forgiven my sins? I mean, how do I know that? Because I certainly never felt forgiven. I felt distant from God. I felt like he was a million miles away. I felt like he was disgusted with me. Why? Because of all the sins that I kept committing and all the bad thoughts that I kept having in my head and all of those sort of things. So I felt like God was a million miles away, and I wasn't sure if he had actually forgiven my sins. I knew Jesus died. Sure. I knew he died on a cross, and I knew he died for my sins, but I wasn't connecting the dots, so I didn't feel forgiven. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people are looking for that feeling. They want to feel forgiven. Yeah. And that feeling is going to come when we recognize truth, when we really come to that point and say, thank you, Jesus, you actually did die for all of my sins, and you actually did forgive each and every one of them. And when the light bulb really went on for me is when I learned about righteousness, when I learned the fact that Jesus took my sin and then gave me his righteousness. We call that the great exchange.
Yes.
Now, God is not going to give an unforgiven person his righteousness. God is not going to credit a person's account with his righteousness if even one sin has gone unpunished. Right. So the fact that God declares us righteous through faith in Jesus Christ is proof positive that all of our sins, all of them, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient. Jesus' blood took away all of them. Now, if that hadn't been the case, God would never give us righteousness.
Right.
So if you're listening, if you're struggling with this idea of forgiveness, if you're wondering, has God really forgiven all of my sins? Has his blood really taken them away once and for all? I want you to take a look at this gift of righteousness. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you received the gift of righteousness. God declared you to be righteous in his sight. He justified you. Mm-hmm. Now, that justification is his stamp on you that your sins have been forgiven. Now, with that gift, all you can do is say thank you. So if you ever worry, ever wonder, ever feel like your sins have not been forgiven, take a look at this gift of righteousness. It will change everything for you. It did for me. Why? Because it's proof positive that your sins, all of them, have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ.
And Bob, of course, everything that you're talking about right now is encompassed in the series that you've produced, the six message CD that you produced called It Is Finished. And we want our friends to have one as ways they support this month the message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ here at Basic Gospel. Friends, if you'd like to have this, we would love to get it into your hands. And when you make your contribution this month at basicgospel.net, we'll get one on the way to you. Again, there's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, and we'd love for you to reach out and reach into the studio right now. We'd love to talk with you. If you have a question or some issue you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, let's talk to Carl right now.
Yes, my name is Carl from Atlanta, Georgia, and I wanted to ask a question concerning being close to God. If Christ is in us, we are already so close, but some people think that if you read the Bible, study a lot, get closer to God. I believe that we're already close. Thank you so much. God bless.
Well, Carl, I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to do things in order to get closer to God. Mm-hmm. And when we say that and when we do these things, we really want a feeling. We want to feel closer to God. Well, again, feelings are going to follow thoughts. And if our thoughts are based on truth, then feelings will follow. Well, what's the truth? Well, here's the truth. The moment that you're saved, God sends his Spirit to take up residence in you. And as a matter of fact, you have become one with God's Spirit. I mean, there's a union that took place. Now, you can't get much closer than that.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you can't get any closer than that. So there has been this relationship that was established, and God sent his Spirit. And so we are as close to God as we will ever be. Now, as we rest in that, and as we allow that truth to just sink deep into our souls and in our minds, then our feelings will follow. But we never want to let feelings kind of be the judge or the arbiter of truth. Mm-hmm. We may feel like God's a million miles away, but that's not true.
Correct.
Even for those who are lost, he says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. If you would simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So it's not like you have to call him out of heaven to come down on your behalf. He's already done that in Christ Jesus. So once we've received Christ, Christ has come to live inside of us. He is now our life. We are fused, joined with his Spirit, and we're as close as we'll ever get. Thank God for that truth,
yes.
And feelings will follow.
Carl, thanks for reaching out. We hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. 800-844-322-2742, that's the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, again, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. How do you know that you're saved?
Well, that's a great question, Mary Jo, and I think that gets down to the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us what this gospel story is, the death, the burial, and resurrection, and it says whoever believes is saved. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved. So we have to trust the fact that God saved us, and that when he saved us completely. So the first thing we have to look at is, hey, I've believed. God's grace has touched my heart. I've responded to that grace in faith. So that's by grace through faith. And so the Bible says we're saved that way, by grace through faith. So that's truth. So I have to believe that God has saved me. So that's the first thing. The second thing is God sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of us. So we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God, as Romans says, as Paul says in Romans 8, bears witness with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. So something happens to us, Mary Jo, when we're saved. We cross over from death to life. We're made alive together with Jesus. And then Jesus sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So the living Spirit, now with my living Spirit, are joined together. And God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that indeed I'm a child of God. So there's assurance there as well. And then as we go through life, you know, like for me, when I was in college, I was going to different parties and that sort of thing. And then when I really came to grips with who I was and that I was alive in Jesus, those things didn't seem to fit with me anymore. I felt out of place at those particular places. Well, what was that? Well, that was simply God confirming to me that I belong to him. So we have the encouragement of the Word, the testimony of the Word of God that says anyone who receives is saved. And John wrote, you know, I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you've received the Son, you've received life, and you're saved. You're saved forever. So we have the encouragement, the testimony of the Word of God, and then we have the encouragement and the testimony of the Spirit of God, both saying to us the exact same thing.
Yes, indeed. Well, we love always hearing from you, our listeners, and of course, Mary Jo, you're no exception. We always love hearing from you and hope that's a help to you. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. And Bob, we had this question from Charles, who lives in Forney, Texas. He says, the other day, my six-year-old son had asked my wife whether or not God will give us another name in heaven. I find myself curious as to why he asked the question, and I would like to share with him my experiences that whether or not God gives us a new name in heaven or not, he speaks to each one of us individually. My son is not the only one with this question. While in prayerful meditation a few weeks ago about where and how God would have me minister, God had whispered to me that my ministry will begin in a church where my family and I do not attend. Although my family does not attend services at this church, we are involved in many activities there. I've thought about speaking with the church's pastor and some of the members there about ministering within the church. What do you think? That's from Charles and Forney.
Well, that is a great question. And one, I'm excited to hear that you're having conversations with your six-year-old son about about Jesus, about all of these wonderful things that the Bible declares to us about him.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're talking to him about the hope that we have in Christ,
yes,
that there's a place that we're going to go to once we depart from these bodies. We're going to be absent from these bodies and present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, as far as a new name is concerned, you know, we read this in Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give hidden manna to eat, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except the one who receives it. Now, is this saying that we're going to get a new name, that's different from our earthly name? Well, here's what I know, and here's what I think, is that when we're in heaven, we're not going to lose our identity. We're not going to lose, you know, the person that God made us to be. And that's exciting. There's lots of religions that would say, you know, God is everywhere and in everything. And when we die, we're just absorbed into him. So he's like this great ocean. We're a drop of water. And when we die, our little drop of water just gets absorbed in the ocean. And we're basically no more. We lose our individuality. We
sure
lose who we are as a person, or who we were as a person here on planet Earth. But that's not the way it works as far as Christianity is concerned. Mm-hmm. God saves us. He saves the whole of us, body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to have a new body. We've already been given a new spirit, made alive. That dead one was made alive in Christ Jesus. So that's exciting, and we're going to be able to express that through our personality, through this human personality that God has given each of us. So I think we'll be I know we're going to be recognized mm-hmm. by each other in heaven. We're going to know each other, and certainly God's going to know us, and we're going to know him. And boy, that's the good news.
Yes.
That's the exciting piece of this puzzle, is that, the life that we have now in Christ mm-hmm. is going to continue. We're going to get a new house to express that life through, but it's going to continue, and it's going to be in a different realm, eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting, and we're gonna know each other based on the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, and you know, three words, it is finished, sum up God's eternal victory over sin. By going to the cross, Jesus finished forever the impact of sin on those who would come to him by grace through faith. And at Basic Gospel, we want you to live in this truth, truth that brings joy and peace and the sure knowledge that you have forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all detailed in Bob Christopher's wonderful work called It Is Finished, a six-message CD series, and we want to send you a copy to say thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. Bob, I know this series has meant a lot to you, and you have very vividly described it in the opening of today's broadcast.
Well, this series is a must series for every single believer. We have talked to Christians from every walk of life. Mm-hmm. We've talked to baby Christians. We've talked to mature, seasoned Christians. And every time I meet one, and it doesn't matter how long they've been in Christ, and they're struggling. They're struggling to grow. They're struggling to see any fruit in their life. The issue always comes down that they're not resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is always, almost without exception, the problem. They have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their sins. Mm-hmm. They have forgotten that Christ forgave every one of their sins. And so without that rest, they struggle and they become restless.
Yes.
But once they get connected and start to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, things start to change.
Mm-hmm.
They start to see that growth, and sometimes explosive growth in their experience. So that's why I say this particular series is a must. If you want to go through life convinced that God loves you, if you want to wake up every day knowing that you know that you know that you know that
yeah.
God loves you, you're going to have to start at the cross. And when you finalize the cross, that love is just absolutely going to explode in that heart of yours in a very powerful and wonderful way.
Absolutely.
So don't miss out on this resource. It Is Finished. It will change your life. It will be a great encouragement in your life. It is a resource that you can share with others as well.
And as we said, we want to send you a copy for your support to Basic Gospel this month. And you can do that anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, again, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from David from Atlanta, actually from Marietta, your old hometown there. He says, I recently heard a popular radio minister discuss how we can know we are genuinely saved or are one of those who might fall away and are unable to be restored. One of the criteria he mentioned was victory. A true Christian is victorious, a victorious one. My life as a believer, David says, has been fraught with failure. I began my Christian journey 20 years ago, and while it certainly was an initial victory over unbelief, I reflect back on my walk with God. I'm sad to say that I've let him down more than I've pleased him and probably been a poor witness more often than a shining one. I've not led one person to Christ, though I've tried in my own clumsy way. I have studied, and I just can't seem to see where the minister is wrong. I don't want to be a false Christian. I want to live in him and for him and to please him, but I am terrible at it. I have willfully disobeyed on a number of occasions, and I just can't see where it means, where it makes sense that God can continue to put up with that. At some point, he must have decided that he is done with me. This leads me to conclude that minister was right, and I was never genuinely saved in the first place. He says, I listen to your program almost daily, and I know that this is a question often raised. I desperately want to have victory in Jesus, but that's just not how the last 20 years have looked.
Well, David, I feel your pain there. I feel that struggle. I hear what you're saying. I was right where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that every failure was just a huge disappointment to God, and that he actually looked at me in disgust, that he was so sick at his stomach at me. Now, was any of that true? Absolutely not. And the reason it's not true is because the Bible tells us a different story. The
yes.
Bible tells us something completely different than those feelings that I had and the feelings that you're having, mm-hmm. David. So if you continue to choose to look at your failures, your sins, your own personal disappointments, then those things are going to feed negativity to your mind. You're going to feel the feelings of guilt, of shame, of fear, and you're going to, based on those feelings of fear, guilt, and shame, you're going to think or draw a conclusion that God is disgusted with you.
Right.
So here's what you're doing. You're allowing your failures and then your feelings of failures be the very thing that is teaching you about what God is like.
Yeah.
And they're always going to lead you astray. They're never going to tell you the truth about God. So for you to understand the truth about God, you have to look away from your sin. You have to look away from your failures. You have to look away from your own disappointments and look to Christ and see that Christ died for all of your sins, that he was victorious and that he was raised to life. And because he's been raised to life, you have that victory as well.
Yes.
So if you will switch the focus, move it away from yourself and on to Jesus, things are going to start to change. If we just, any of us, decide to look at our lives, man, that's going to be a mess. That's going to be a source of all kinds of disappointments for us that could lead us into depression and despair. Well, God isn't telling us to look at ourselves. He's asking us to get our eyes off of ourselves and on to Jesus and to recognize what he's accomplished. And then when we recognize what he's accomplished, then he's going to teach us exactly what he's done in our lives and the fact that he's forgiven our sins. He's given us a new identity. He's given us a new heart. He's declared us to be righteous. He's given us his spirit. And all of those things are statements of victory. And when we start recognizing it that way, then we will be able to respond to God in an attitude of thanksgiving. And that faith in what he's accomplished is our victory here and now.
David, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. Bob, I think we have just time to answer this one final question. What does it mean to draw near to the throne? What does that mean? That's from a YouTube viewer.
Yes, and that's a great question. If we're as close to God as we possibly can be because we are one with his spirit, we have been infused with the very spirit of God, what in the world does it mean to draw near to God? Well, for example, in the book of James, James is talking to sinners and is saying, draw near to God. He's saying, receive Jesus Christ. The barrier has been removed. There's nothing more to be done. So draw near and be made new through faith in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that we're to draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's just saying that in this relationship that we have with God, access to him is always available. There's nothing that we need to do to gain access.
Yes.
He's right there with us. So we can talk to him at any given time, and when we do, we're not going to find judgment. We're not going to find any of those sort of things. We're going to find grace and mercy that is going to help us in our time of need.
Absolutely.
So that's what those two particular passages are talking about.
Friends, we want you to be able to build your maturity and understanding as a child of God, and you can do that when you visit our online store and take advantage of the resources that are available there. You'll find it at basicgospel.net. You'll find books and Bible studies and CDs and DVDs all designed to help you grow in God's grace. You'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. A reminder that we love hearing from you, and you can call anytime and leave a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Also, the love, prayers, and support of our listener friends, those are vital components to help keep Basic Gospel, the message of God's love and grace, on the air. And as you make your gift this month, we want to send you our new CD series, It Is Finished. And these messages will help you enjoy living free from fear and guilt concerning sin. Request your copy today when you donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the home page. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue in that wonderful series called The Great I Am on Basic Gospel. Have a good evening, everybody, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.